Candace Michelle, and welcome to Our Community for KCIW, your community radio station. As the host of this series, I chat with some of the interesting people who live and work in our community and delve into some of the topical issues that affect our quality of life here on our beautiful Wild Rivers Coast. And I have found that the stunning beauty of our natural surroundings is only surpassed by the kind, generous, and dedicated community-oriented people who live here. Now, two such people are my guests today, Dr. Julianne Layton from the Friends of the Brookings Harbor Aquatic Center and Parks and Technical Services Supervisor for the City of Brookings, Tony Barron. That's a mouthful, you guys. Welcome to the show. You are both on the task force for the proposed Recreational Aquatic Center. And we're going to talk about that, how that dream was born, what transpired since, and where we are with it now. But first, can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves? Julianne, you can start.
This is Julianne, and I have been the chair and director of Friends of the Brookings Harbor Aquatic Center since we incorporated in 2011. I've lived in the Brookings community since 2003.
Really?
We moved here in the fall of 2003.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you come from?
From Corvallis, Oregon.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have been working as an internist in the community since then.
Did you get this idea? I mean, what did...
I would say that around 2010, that was about the time where I had a young family, three children by that time, moved here without children. And there was a desire to get more involved with my community at that point. And I had two very different aspects of my life. I had three young children under four at home and a medical practice of mostly senior retired patients. And I was struggling to find a project that I could get involved with that didn't make me feel like I was being pulled from one or the other. I wanted something that addressed kind of all of my interests mm-hmm. on both sides of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was dealing with multiple issues with patients in terms of access to recreation, exercise, especially during our winter times, and had similar issues with young children and access to swimming lessons and recreation and activity. And then, of course, my friends and that population of adults who are looking for opportunities for improved community wellness or access to different things. And in looking at what type of opportunities are available or what would meet the needs of multiple different age ranges, it seemed that the idea of a community center, specifically an aquatic center, because there had been a big push and a lot of discussion amongst patients of having access to water around the year for exercising and different things, that it seemed like having an indoor pool and indoor recreation center would meet the needs of various age groups. And after doing more research, it was quite apparent that an isolated indoor aquatic pool, indoor pool, really is not sustainable based on how expensive it has gotten to operate those types of facilities. And so the idea of an aquatic center, which includes both dry activities, so a traditional recreation center that's married with an aquatic center that typically has a couple of pools in it, has a much more sustainable model and can meet a variety of needs amongst various age levels.
Great. That's, wow. That's a big idea. I like that.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So.
And Tony, you are the Parks and Technical Services Supervisor for the City of Brookings. I never understood what technical services was.
Well, as I've stated before, Candace, the technical services is all of the other things that get thrown on my desk. So.
All the other piles of
yeah.
stuff, yeah.
It ranges.
So, Tony, how long have you been in the community?
Well, I grew up here.
You
I'm
did.
From Brookings.
Wow.
I left for 10 years to go to school and do my internship in architecture. And I missed every day I was gone, and I'm glad to be back. I moved back in 2005, operated and am still operating a design firm business, but I work for the City of Brookings full-time, and I enjoy public service. This particular project is important to me because, as a public servant, it's a project that not only addresses the needs of our community, the people who live here, but also people who visit here. So this is the type of project that I just enjoy being a part of.
I'm really glad both of you are on board with this, because it seems like a very exciting idea. So what is FBHAC?
So,
Julianne, that's yours.
So FBHAC is a nonprofit, mm-hmm. and it was generated or created with the idea of championing the development of this indoor year-round recreation and aquatic center. Mm-hmm. It was developed from the ground up. We've learned everything from how to file articles of incorporation, figuring out bylaws, getting our 501c3, putting together a board, creating a website, doing all of the things that one does when establishing a nonprofit. And then under FBHAC, we have now become the nonprofit vehicle with a group of community-minded citizens who have come together really feeling like the development of this project would really make a significant impact on our community.
And Tony, how did the city get involved in this?
Well, the city, from the city's perspective, we looked at the Friends of the Berkings Harbor Aquatic Center as this group that had this similar interest. And one of our interests, of course, we manage a municipal pool. And, you know, if we have an aquatic center,
which is only open
three and a half months a year.
Right.
So if an aquatic center is built, the municipal pool goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from the outside, we're looking at this Friends of the Berkings Harbor Aquatic Center getting this momentum and having these ideas about this facility. And we're thinking, well, what a wonderful collaboration. We have a facility. You know, we would lose it if a new facility was built. Maybe there's some way for us to join together and become a part of this together, you know.
And from what I've been able to see, the fact that the pool is only open for a few months a year really doesn't make it, I mean, it doesn't even break even, right? I
no,
mean,
our pool budget is roughly $120,000 a year, and we're losing $40,000 to $60,000 a year just the way it operates.
Right.
But, you know,
And it's also not really warm. I mean, I have to speak from my own experience of trying to swim there a few times, and I don't know. It just was cold. It was cold. It wasn't comfortable.
Well, that's the nature of an outdoor pool on the Oregon coast.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So how did the city then become involved? What were the steps? What happened?
Well, we started meeting a couple of times. I think the city, Friends of the Berkings Harbor Aquatic Center came and met with the city manager, Gary Milliman, and I. We sat down a couple times, and then we came up with this idea to form a task force. The task force started meeting I think it was October 2014, mm-hmm. and then we finally established a task force in April of 2015. And we've been meeting every month since, and we've been working on, there's different things that we've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
Every month there's something new that we're working on, but that's just, I think, collaboration between the city, friends, and some community members. We get mm-hmm. them all together on a task force with the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been working out really well. It's a really good way to reach out to the community, all the different facets of the community, and make sure we get them all engaged in this.
Because it's not going to go anywhere if it doesn't have community support. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. It is with anything, you know, and it has to have community support. Julianne, you had a series of public meetings, I think, workshops or something, because I remember attending one of them where there were a bunch of people. I think we met at the library in that big room, and we had whiteboards, and there were note-taking, and it was sort of to get the community's input, at least initially, in terms of, well, what do you see? If you could have anything you wanted, you know, what would this look like? And
yes, I think that was one of many community opportunities. I think one of our more successful ones where we did exactly that. I think it was a very elaborate brainstorming session where we split different members of the community into areas of interest that they had, and we talked about locations if we could pick and choose, economics of how we could fund it, who would be major supporters, you know, what would be some roadblocks to creating a project like this. And It was an incredible experience, again, to have a group of people who are all really supportive about the idea, working through both the dream sequence, you know, what are exactly, like you talked about, what if we could have anything we possibly want, what would that be? And then some of the realities of, okay, well, you know, this is going to take some hard work, and what are the steps that we're going to have to do to make this a reality?
So if you, you know, had the dream of whatever you wanted, what would it look like?
In terms of the community center, It would be a multi-purpose space full of activities for all ages, a gathering place that you could go any time of the day and drop in for almost any purpose that was focused on recreation. That might be to pick up a bike and go bike riding around the community. It might be to play basketball with your coworker after work. It might be to take your children to swim lessons or meet up with your neighbor for some sort of social activity or to take a cooking class. There are a variety of things that one could potentially do.
It would be nice to just have a space that was an indoor space where you could walk. So many times, you know, I'd love to go for a walk, but I look out there and the rain's coming down kind of horizontally, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't really want to go out in that. So, yeah.
I think the beauty behind the project is that it includes everyone and potentially could serve anyone of any age, and it brings the community together. It really provides that comprehensive space that no matter, again, what time of day, how old you are, what your limitations are or your interests are, again, if there is community support and a desire, then potentially the space could serve to meet those needs.
And you could have fun. I mean, that really, everybody likes to have fun, right? So what do you think is the ballpark in terms of financial impact? Like how much do you think something like this would end up costing?
Well, you know, a fully built out project, if it was a renovation of an existing facility, it could range anywhere between $8 and $12 million. If it's a brand new facility, it could be anywhere between $10 and $14 million. It's kind of a moving target at this point.
Right.
I think we recognize, our task force recognizes, that this is probably going to be a phased project.
And by that you mean?
We're gonna build it. We're not gonna build the whole thing out. We're gonna have to take it in steps because I think that kind of money, we may have problems getting that kind of money in this community to do that.
Now, isn't the YMCA involved in this in some way?
Well, we've engaged the YMCA. We have a the director of the Grants Pass YMCA, Kevin Clark. He joins us at our meetings. He's been to almost everyone, and he's been a valuable asset. Does he show up there to give us information? He provides a lot of information that I think that we have been able to use in lieu of spending a lot of money on a needs assessment or, you know, doing any kind of development of a feasibility study. The YMCA has great numbers. They have great programs that they use in their facility that could fit in our community as well. And so they've provided a lot of really good information at every meeting. And so they're, you know, it's an interest that they have, and to see that the coast has good recreation as well. So Kevin's really interested in being involved in this.
So that's sort of the idea at this point, that the YMCA would join in some way, shape, or form with this idea and have a YMCA here?
The possibility's out there for sure. It's not a given.
Right.
The possibility's there. At this point, though, it's what's great about it is we are, as a community and a task force, taking advantage of the information that they have available. We're utilizing that information.
It's really exciting because they've done this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah, and if we have the YMCA as a resource, that's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. Right. We were really able to take advantage of a lot of the resources they have. The YMCA allowed us to use one of their community surveys, so we did that last May, and that provided the community opportunity to answer a variety of questions in terms of what their desire was in the community in regards to recreation, what they felt their access was, what they really look forward to having, and as well as perception of the YMCA, interest in the YMCA. And it was very, very well received. A lot of support there, and that information has been very key to allowing the task force to make decisions and move forward, all with information that the community has shared in terms of what their hopes and interests and beliefs are for the community.
And was there anything that stood out in that survey, or was there a result that, you know, either surprised you or actually validated what you thought?
I think it was definitely validated. I think that there was overwhelming support, at least in my interpretation, for moving forward with this project. Overwhelming support for the YMCA and its reputation and having their continued involvement. I think overwhelming support from all ages. So not necessarily just parents of young children or parents of teenagers or young adults or adults, but even seniors, all ages indicated that they felt like there was a need for better access to recreational services and the types of activities and programs that such a facility would offer.
And this, if I might add, this is universal in all of our community outreach events that we've had, whether it be the the open house workshop that we had, or we put out a questionnaire early on in the process. Every process that we've been involved in engaging the community, it's always come back to us that we want this facility. We need this facility. It's the same discussion this community has had for the last 30 some years, a community center, an indoor pool. All of those questions have been brought up to the community, and they all say they want it.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think that's a hurdle that we'll ever come across.
Well, and I think it's more than just want. I think we need it. I mean, I certainly notice that there's a lot of overweightness in this community, and I think that a lot of that could be addressed by, an exercise place where you could go that was community friendly, and, you'd see your friends and your neighbors there, and you'd get to swim inside and do the fun things that you want to do that you can't do year-round here in this climate. You just can't.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there are major community health impacts from having indoor access to recreation year-round. I think that there's a variety of other community impacts from having such a facility as well, economic impacts and community wellness impacts. I mean, there's plenty.
And social. So, I mean, exactly. Just the whole social thing is, and I think we have a tendency to forget how important that is to people's health. If you are a senior citizen and you happen to be, inside during the winter and you're not getting out much, it's really easy to get depressed. And, having a place where you can go and get some exercise while socializing seems like the best prescription in the world, right? No pills, just walk or swim or whatever. So where is the task force at this point in terms of the next step? So you've identified that it is definitely something the community wants. Do you have a potential site?
Right now we are focused primarily on our existing municipal pool as a possible renovation project.
Okay.
At our last meeting or the meeting before, we decided that Bud Cross was going to be our focus until it just isn't. Until it doesn't have the ability to serve what we need.
Yeah.
The last meeting, we selected an architect, Robertson Sherwood, architects out of Eugene, who have a wonderful portfolio of this type of project. So
are they going to do?
Well, they're going to help us assess our existing facility and mm-hmm. see. They're going to come up with some concepts that. We're going to mm-hmm. investigate if that right. Bud Cross is the site for this.
Okay. Now, what will happen to the park as it is right now? Aren't there fields there and buildings and...
It's difficult to say. Okay. I mean, it all depends on how this project's phased in.
Mm-hmm.
And what facilities are going to be provided in the initial phase. You know, mm-hmm. we're looking at a 5-10 year build out. Can we reconfigure what we have there to another location, change, mm-hmm. move things around on site? You know, is there enough parking?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a facility that the city can bring to this project's table. And
because you own it.
Because we own
right?
it. And so we want to at least explore that to see mm-hmm. if it's possible. Mm-hmm.
And people are used to that being a park. So that's already figured into the mm-hmm. equation that that's someplace where people go to recreate. So, yeah.
And the existing pool is in very good condition given its age and, you know, the building and some of the equipment, you know, may need to be replaced, but the actual tank is what they call it is
mm-hmm.
good.
And we'd be itself. Able to use that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Yeah, because that's a huge expense, I would think, to dig a big hole like that.
That's a big part of the process of deciding, you know, if we're mm-hmm. going to renovate that or build mm-hmm. a new facility, because that cost has to be incurred in the first phase. And so it might make Bud Cross the front runner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And certainly from the perspective of sustainability, I mean, there are two different costs that we're talking about, the cost really to build the facility as well as how do we maintain it. And
right, because once it's built, you actually need staff and, right.
Right,
yeah.
And so the traditional pool of yesteryear, if you will, the isolated swimming pool by itself has significant operational limitations. And mm-hmm. so part of the whole process is ensuring that we look at the facility from the purpose of what the community really needs and provide programs and features in that facility that will draw the community to use it. And the more people who use it, the more that we're serving and providing and meeting the needs of the community, mm-hmm. the better chance we have at sustainability. And by owning property that we would potentially build a facility on, that is one less bill that you have to pay.
Huge bill, really.
Right, huge bill, yeah, right,
right,
to pay. That
yeah.
increases the chance that this is going to be a sustainable
mm-hmm.
project.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that one of the ways that you would sustain it is through membership. I would think that that would be a way of doing it. Certainly that's the way the Y sustains their programs and stuff. So I'm trying to envision if there was an angel that decided that this was the thing that the community needed and they really wanted to give this. The price tag that they're looking at is somewhere between, what did you say, $8 and $12 million? That's not really bad, is it? Somebody out there's got $8 to $12 million that is just dying to give this to the community.
Well, I think that there is a broad scope of issues that we can address. And mm-hmm. I think as we go through the due diligence process and we have more of these community outreaches and we start to focus really on what the community desires, what programs they desire, mm-hmm. what features are needed. And we have a general idea of that from the last survey that we did, but that will get fine-tuned as we go through the process. Then the form of it, mm-hmm. that's Tony's arena, you know, that the shell that's going yeah. to hold all of these wonderful things that we're going to be offering to the community takes its shape mm-hmm. from all of that decision making. And
certainly there are grants that are out there. I know there's grants out there. So, you know, and especially as this would feed into the health of rural populations, there've got to be grants out there that would help in some way, shape, or form. So, yeah. I think this is very exciting. Are you guys excited about this?
Very excited.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about it than I've ever been. I mean, I've lived in this community for many years, and the discussion of a community rec center or a indoor aquatic center, it's been a hot topic just like the couplet was.
Yes.
For years. So, I feel like we're in our task force is in a good place moving in a product, you know,
yep.
moving into productive steps,
yep.
going forward to making this happen. And we're hoping to generate some really good materials for the community to review and really look at this project before and give them a good picture of this project before we start asking them to reach in their pockets.
So I'm assuming that that's what the architecture firm is going to help with. And then once you've got something back from them, it will go to the community so that the community will be able to see it. And
there'll be an opportunity, I think, for the community to, a couple opportunities for the community to engage
Great.
In the design process. The architect will present kind of a mid-range schematic design, and we'll invite the public in and allow them to have input.
Great.
Just
excellent.
As we have in the past.
Yeah, excellent. I think it's a great it's great vision, it's a great dream, and the process has been great. I mean, it really has called on the people of the community, and
I think we've been very, very, I think it just has been a wonderful process. I mean, this collaborative relationship we've
yep.
had between the city, between the YMCA community members, FBHAC, we've had the support of AllCare. They've provided us a wonderful facilitator with Vanessa Becker. I think that, you know, of course, Kevin has volunteered his time, Kevin Clark with the YMCA. It has just been
been
unbelievable
great.
Experience.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that people who are listening are going to want to get involved in some way, shape, or form. How would they do that? What is there somebody that they could call or get in touch with for more information? Is there a way that they, if they decide that they've got some time that they'd like to volunteer? I mean, what is the way to get them involved?
Well, we'll certainly, you know, I think that the next step really is once we get the architectural renderings back, then we'll be having another community forum.
Mm-hmm.
We do advertise those. We have ways to advertise that on social media. FBHAC has an e-newsletter that we send out. The city has a way that they're publicizing it. I'm sure it will be
Great.
On the radio and in the newspapers. So we're not making it a secret. Everybody's
yeah.
welcome, and that certainly will be well advertised. And I think that the more community support we have, you know, we obviously, this is the intent now is to get the feedback of the community, and the more we know about what the community wants and what the community needs, the better we move forward in creating something that meets those needs. And that's what we want, because that's going to define our success as we move forward. You know, we have an email, Friends of the Brookings Harbor Aquatic Center. That's friends@fbhac.org. Like I said, we're there. We have social media. We have a newsletter. There are sign-ups on our website to access those.
And what is your website?
www.fbhac.org.
Okay, great. Excellent. Good. Boy, it's really exciting, and I'm hopeful and, you know, looking forward to being able to swim someday and inside. It sounds great. Thank you both very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Is there any last piece of information you want to give? Any? No, you're good?
I think so, yeah.
Excellent. Great. Thank you.
And
thank you so much for listening to this edition of Our Community for KCIW, your community radio station. You can listen to all of our podcasts on our website at kciw.org. And while you're there, consider helping us get on the air with a donation. Large or small, everything helps. Most of our equipment is now purchased, but we need to raise $5,000 to pay for mounting our antenna. Now, if you enjoy these interviews and would like to hear more, please consider becoming a founding member. You can do that right on our website using PayPal, or mail a check for $250 to KCIW, Post Office Box 565, Brookings, Oregon, 97415. We are so close to being on the air. This has been Our Community. I'm Candace Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.